Sports played a very important part in the early life in Cochrane. In reading through the old newspapers, it seems that sports practiced here in the early days were influenced by the sources of the population and the wealth, to a certain extent, of the early settlers. Because most early settlers were a British stock, the sports scene was very much directed by this. The early sports clearly reflect the country of origin of many of the early settlers. Racing, polo, cricket, football or soccer, tennis made an early appearance on the scene in Cochrane area. The people who first settled here knew good horse breeding and seemed to import some very good bloodlines into the area. The fact that some of them had some money may have played a part. It appears from a history of the Cochrane races printed in the Calgary Daily Herald of 1924 that race meets were held in 1891 and was the beginning of an annual classic tradition that continued until the Depression. In 1894, the Cochrane Race Association was formed. Lady Adela Cochrane and others, primarily from the area west of the town site, had imported horses of quality. In 1894, it was reported that the races were run on the second track. Where the first track was didn't appear in the article or news items in the Cochrane Advocate. In 1910, the association was reorganized and purchased a permanent track. Grandstands and stables were built but burned in 1912. It was Mr. O. A. Critchley and others who pursued the purchasing of 40 acres from R. Hewitt, who had been renting the land for an annual fee for a number of years. The interior of the track was to be devoted to the playing of polo. From the beginning, there were some very good horses in the area, and many were raised and shipped elsewhere in the world. The heavy horse breeds also played their part in the history of this area. During the First World War, French officials came to the area to buy heavy horses. In 1909, it was reported that 300 people came by train and others arrived by auto to watch the races. In 1917, 240 passengers arrived by train. Local merchants set up stands beside the racetrack to provide refreshments for the crowds attending. Many of the races seemed to be contested by local riders and horses. There were ladies' races, native races, cowboy races, and boys' races held. It is reported that jockeys rode here that later went on to become well known in the race world. In 1924, Mr. B.F. Rhodes rescued racing in Cochrane by taking over the land that was being used for the racetrack. In April of 1910, the Polo Club met. Quoting, "Ground has been located on the second flat between the village and the Bow River on the east side of the road to the steel bridge," end of quote. Most of the players seemed to come from the area west of Cochrane, but they did play games against Glenbow. In fact, in 1910, it was suggested that Cochrane, Grand Valley, and Glenbow amalgamate. The reason given by the editor of the Advocate was, "United we stand, divided we fall." In 1911, in the spring, they were looking for new grounds on which to play, but agreed that they would play on the old grounds for this season. By May of 1912, the club started to play on the grounds on the interior of the racetrack. They also wanted to build a pavilion for accommodation of ladies who are expected to grace the grounds. 1890 saw the beginning of annual picnics being held at the Mount Royal Ranch, which is found on the Forestry Road northwest of Cochrane. Beside various contests between human contestants, there were also various competitions between horse and rider. Events like the barrel race, stake race, bending race, flat races, musical chairs, and square dancing on horseback were held at such gatherings. By 1945, Miss Helen MacDonald, owner of the Mount Royal Ranch, asked if these gatherings could take place elsewhere. Thus was born the Cochrane Light Horse Association. The events were moved closer to Cochrane, with the first events being held close to the Glenbow area of Cochrane. Later, there was a track south of the Sheepyard tracks, moving to the area west of the site of Cochrane High School later on, and finally moving to the Griffin Farm. Two very beautiful paintings were commissioned by the Light Horse Association to be done by Mr. Roland Gissing, and they were to be put on a float which was entered into the Calgary Stampede Parade in the early 1950s. An annual dance capped off the summer's activities. The organization lasted until about the 1960s. In June of 1911, there was an article in The Advocate inviting interested parties to attend a meeting with the intention of organizing a cricket club. The editor of The Advocate had the following to say, I quote, "The promoters had better make it clear at the start that the system of rooting is entirely foreign to the game. Better to have no cricket at all than have it spoiled by the yelling of abusive comments as in some other places." End of quote. In June of 1912, the Cochrane cricketers made their debut thanks to Mr. O.A. Critchley, who invited them to come to Grand Valley to play against the team from this area. Apparently, the Cochrane team scored an upset, as the Grand Valley team consisted of some very good players. There was a report of a game between Cochrane and a team from Calgary, played at Riley Park. The Cochrane team won against a strong team. Another early appearance on the scene was football or soccer. In May of 1909, a meeting was held in the council chambers to discuss organizing a football team. It appears that this was not the first team. A playing field had been selected in front of the fire hall, and practices will take place on Monday, Wednesday, Friday evenings at 7 p.m. In June of 1911, a Hillhurst football team combined a day at the Cochrane races with an exhibition game against the Cochrane team. Calgary won. In August 1911, a Calgary team again played against the Cochrane team, called the Corinthians, Calgary winning 4-3. There were bad conditions owing to rain. In May of 1912, the Cochrane team journeyed to Mitford and played a game against the Coal Heavers, Cochrane winning 4-1. A football team seemed to be still playing in 1921. In April, it was reported that the Cochrane Football Club appears to have a reasonable certainty of a successful season ahead. There is a faint sprinkling of talent in town and in the district, which should shortly be augmented when the quarry and the brickyard are in full operation. Tennis appeared very early as well. A meeting was called in April of 1910 for those interested in forming a tennis club in the village. It appears that a tennis court was built on the south side of the railway track. In 1924, it was reported that shale was hauled in from the Big Hill Creek and rolled to provide a good surface. There was also a tennis court north of the old Cochrane School, which was a clay court, and evidence of this court was still there in the late 1940s. So far, most of the sports were practiced in the spring, summer, and fall. However, the winter was given over to the Roaring Game, another import from across the pond. In November of 1911, it was felt that Cochrane should have a curling rink. According to the editor of The Advocate of the day, quotations, "The only danger is that players become so fascinated with the game that everything else has to take second place," end of quote. At a meeting of November 30, 1911, the building of a curling and skating rink was held. It was reported that the village could raise $2,000 for purposes of recreation, which would be used to build a covered rink. It appears that this idea was vetoed. By December of 1911, it was reported that the curling rink was well underway. Where it was is still a matter of contention, but it seems likely that it was built to the north and east of Alistair Moore's property or the tennis courts at the east end of town. In 1915, it was decided to re-roof the building rather than spend the money on erecting a building for two sheets of ice. By 1918, the curlers were looking for new quarters. A meeting of interested parties was called in October to discuss a new curling rink. They apparently looked for new quarters and decided to buy the old bowling alley for $600. Ladies petitioned in the same year to be able to curl. They were allowed, in 1919, 2 afternoons per week, but must vacate by 3:30 p.m. The fee was $2. If there was free ice in the evening, they would be allowed to play, and they were responsible for damage to rocks and anything else. There is an account in The Advocate of February 27, 1919, which would seem to indicate the importance of the game to the community. Curling notes from the Cochrane Advocate of February the 27th, 1919. Last evening at the curling rink was one of excitement. Two visiting rinks from the city of Calgary met with two rinks made up of boys from the local club, in a friendly way to try conclusions. The players taking their places on the south rink were Palmer, Irwin, McTavish, and Milne of Calgary, against Anderson, Gaynor, Lockery, and Bailey of Cochrane. While on the north rink were Miquelon, Bain, Lucy, and another, with Patterson, Grayson, Quigley, and G. McNamee. The waiting room was well filled with spectators of both sexes, old, middle-aged, and young, who showed by their actions where their interests lay. As the ends were scored, great enthusiasm prevailed when our boys tallied, while if the opposite side marked up, a lowering of acclamations depicted another feeling of the beholders. The game progressing left Miquelon victor over Patterson, who, though vanquished, can still curl, the score being 17-9. Anderson's score was 11-10. The latter rink's score was a very even one, and at last end, a great intensity of feeling possessed the onlookers as Anderson moved to play last stone against a two-end which would mean a tie. The spectators beheld, with bated breath, the champion of the arena march to shooting point. Taking aim with some precaution, he delivered his rock, which moved onward as if to obey the mastermind, and cut Calgary rink out of one, thus leaving the aforementioned score. The applause which followed must certainly have satisfied the hearts of the victors, who, as they passed from the battlefield, carried heads somewhat higher and stepped a little more briskly as if to say, "No flies on us." During the evening, lunch was served and partaken by those present, who agreed that the ladies of Cochrane were hard to beat when it came to a lunch preparation. End of article. By 1923, the need to alter the old rink was evident. They decided to move back the wall on the south side, which would permit the building of a walkway between the two sheets. This was finished by December, and Bob Chapman was heard to remark that it, quote, "gives players plenty of room for a lofty swing to clean out the house when necessary," end of quote. In 1953, the construction of a new rink began, and the Bearspaw Curlers promised that they would stay in Cochrane and assist with the new rink. Artificial ice was installed in 1959. This was the Concert Hut rink that was next to the United Church. Up to this time, the weather determined very much when curling could take place. It seems that some of the games may have been marathons in order to beat the weather. Banff was also a very popular destination. Players would take their rocks to the CPR station, put them on the train, and away they and the rocks would go to Banff to dispute the Simpson Cup and other events. Hockey, the first game that could probably be called Canadian, appeared quite early as well. In November of 1910, it was announced that there was a possibility of a skating rink being built. Mr. Tom Quigley came to the rescue and built a fence 100 feet by 50 feet on a site near the Quigley Brickyard. There already was a water system in the area, and this is likely where they also curled. In December of 1910, Cochrane met a team from Springbank, but they played on a large lake on the Bow River Horse Ranch. They won 6-0. As seemed usual at the time, any event was the excuse for a dance afterward, and it appears that the hometown boys were so happy at winning that they rented the Orange Hall for a dance. Games were played with teams in the area. In January of 1912, the team journeyed to Banff, with Banff winning 1-0. There was a note, quote, "The Banff boys are not only good sportsmen, but they understand the art of hospitality as well. Everything that could be done to entertain Cochrane was done. Up to the hot springs, that sounds nice this cold weather, and down the toboggan slide, they had the time of their lives. Whilst at the Alberta Hotel, they were treated like princes. It is worth a beating to get such a high old time. The Cochrane Curlews will be wanting to go to Banff after this. We were sorry to see Captain Brody get such a bad crack over the eye. Bandaged up as he is, it looks as though he has taken part in an Irish election. Luckily, he's getting along all right and back to business again. E.R. Todd is taking the boys in hand, and a hard taskmaster he is going to be. He is going to insist on constant practice, no cigarette smoking, in fact, early to bed. End of note. In 1921, it was noted that the building of a rink is essential if Cochrane teams are to compete with the surrounding teams. A new rink was constructed, and I assume that it was the one next to the Cochrane school. This was the site of skating and hockey for some 35 years, until the rink was moved next to Mountain Street, when Andrew Sybil's school was built around 1955. Impromptu wrestling matches were held, as were log chopping contests. There seemed to have always been at least one pool hall in the town. Bowling made a brief appearance in 1912 when Monsieur de Repentigny built alleys where the senior center is located, that is, across from the old Royal Bank building on First Avenue. In April of 1912, Cochrane bowlers scored a double victory over a team from Calgary. The Calgary team commented on the alleys, saying that they are as good as any they have ever played upon. There's no evidence as to when bowling stopped, but it didn't seem to last very long. The alleys were used for a variety of purposes until it was turned into the curling rink. The first mention of baseball that I spotted in the Advocates was in 1921, when there were rumors of a baseball team around town. Whether it was played before, it certainly became one of the dominant summer sports in the community later on. There was also an early report about a rodeo in the town, and of course there was the annual Dominion Day Rodeo in Morley. The Lions Club Rodeo started in the 1960s and has become a standby in the town. There have been motorcycle hill climbs in the area for some time. The Cochrane Hill was a prime site, and I remember a hill climb around the area of the current town office. In the early 80s, there was an attempt to start chuck wagon racing here. The races didn't last long, but the track continued to be used in various capacities until fairly recently. Griffins, on whose farm the racetrack sat, were involved in chuck wagon racing long before the track appeared on their farm.